Stargate, our Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Meg.
And today we're talking about episode 57, Eternal Leave.
Yes, in this episode, the battle for a nation's soul descends into chaos. Bradley unleashes death on those who dare engage him. Beneath Central, the one responsible for the fear's creation, unleashes something far, far worse.
And this covers manga chapters 98, Greed Without Limits, and 99, Eternal Rest.
Okay, I see. I see where the episode title comes from now.
Yeah. I like Eternal Rest better than Eternal Leave, just given what happens later in the episode.
Yeah, I think that sounds more like a military term.
Yeah.
Like being on leave, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's get into this episode. Starts out with Lanfan running through the underground tunnels, and she overhears some Central soldiers talking about how the fight's still ongoing and the Fuhrer has re-entered the battle. So she is hurrying to wherever she's going. And Olivier and Izumi are interrogating that one old
rando.
Yeah. I saw, oh, now I can't remember it, but he had a name in the subtitles. It was something weird.
I don't care.
Or it was like, I don't remember what it was. Dang it. But he's filling them in on the leader's plans to, you know, use everyone to make a philosopher's stone. And they're like, why would you do that? You're killing everyone. But he's like, no, everyone will still be around. They'll be inside of us and everyone will be one. And he uses the phrase, all is one, one is all, which triggers Izumi because that's her thing. And she hits him with her shoe.
Yep, and in the manga, she hits him twice because he keeps running his mouth. And the second time she hits him, Olivier joins her and just, like, kicks him.
And then Olivier tells Central soldiers who are hearing all this for the first time to decide what they're going to do. And they decide to join them in their fight, which is totally reasonable. And then we have this, I wouldn't say sweet moment, but... Olivier talks to some of her brig soldiers and she tells them to get out and leave her behind if things turn bad. She's looking out for her men. And then everyone starts heading down the stairs into the underground. Ed and Mustang and Risa and Scar, they have finally gotten somewhere, made their way through the tunnels into they're on their way to find Father, but they run into the Gold-Toothed Doctor, which I have no idea what his name is, but...
I don't know if they give him a name.
Yeah, I don't know either. And this is where we learn, but we already know that he was the one who created King Bradley, and he calls down these soldiers that are the other candidates for the Fuhrer. And they attack Ed Plus
and Company.
Yes.
Ed Plus 3.
Yep. And then we go back to the fight, finally, that we left off the last episode with Bradley against Fu and Greed. And this fight again is amazing. But they're getting in each other's way. They're accidentally attacking each other. And the Fuhrer is, even with two of them, the Fuhrer is still just dominating. Fu loses his sword to Bradley, and Bradley stabs him. And that's when Ling takes over his own body, and he rushes in and saves Fu. And he's very, very protective of him, and... this is where we see, again, kind of what I guess I talked about in the last episode, kind of the differences between Bradley and Ling, where he's like, King should fight for his people, and Bradley's fighting for himself and his own agenda. So he's very, very angry, and he's gonna keep fighting. But Fu tells him that he needs to accept loss, and he runs towards Bradley and reveals that he has a bunch of like bombs around his abdomen, and he's lit them. And it seems like the Fuhrer is in a bad place, but he expertly like slashes the tops of the bombs off and also gets Fu's stomach, which he had already lost a lot of blood, but this was a lot. But this gives Buccaneer, who we thought was down for the count, a chance. He stabs Bradley from behind, like through Fu.
It was just like, everything was placed perfectly because Buccaneer was out of commission because he had been stabbed with Bradley's sword. But he knows if he takes it out, he will bleed to death. But he takes it out anyway and uses Fu's last moments to, like, basically sacrifice both their lives by thrusting the sword up. And he said something like, "I'm not going to be dying alone," or something like that. And it was kind of a sweet sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah. And Fu, like, thanks him. He's like, "My death's not in vain." And then Greedling gets in on the action and stabs the Fuhrer's ultimate eye. And then we see up above that Lanfan has seen what just went down.
Poor girl.
Yeah. So she's very concerned for her grandfather. But then we go to a car crash. What's his face?
Can't drive.
I couldn't remember his name. Yeah, he can't drive. He crashed a car, and Alan, what is it? Al, Yoki, Marco, and Heinkel.
And Heinkel. Yeah.
They're all trying to find the underground as well, trying to get to father. And then we go back to the fight with Ed and company. The soldiers are very hard to beat. I mean, they were candidates for King Bradley's position. So they're really struggling, but Riza, she seems to be like the only one that's actually doing anything. She's taking him out. And then we have like this, I guess, classic scene where, Riza and Roy like back to back fighting. And then
that flirty little scene wasn't in the manga, by the way. The animators are milking this for all it's worth.
Yes, as they should. Yeah.
At this point, they're probably drawing fan art of the two of them kissing.
Mm-hmm. And then Mustang like turns around and he like quips something. I don't remember what he says. But then Riza like fires off a couple shots behind him, and she has saved his life. He's getting distracted, trying to be cool. But then we leave off there and go back to Izumi and Sig and Olivier and Alex. And this is where Olivier learns Izumi's backstory, and she asks Olivier if she would bring anyone back. And I kind of liked her line where she's like, "We soldiers don't think about bringing anybody back. We fight to keep more people from dying." Mm. So basically, no. I mean, at the same time, she's kind of saying like, "Nope, I wouldn't have done human transmutation," which is a good thing. Then she reminisces about meeting Ed for the first time and like remembers how he would do anything to protect the people that he cares about. But he is a naive child, and she's concerned about leaving fate in his hands, I guess. Which makes, I don't disagree with her.
A valid point. It's just that sometimes to change the world, we need a little bit of childlike wonder, I think.
Yeah. We need the people who are like, "Yeah, we can do it all. We can save everyone." Because without those people, some situations would seem hopeless.
Without those people, The world would still be turned to stone. The transmutation would be complete. The Port Mafia would win.
Okay.
Insert chosen reference here.
Yes. And as she's saying this, we cut back to Ed. And this is when the Dr. Goldtooth, that is what I'm going to call him. He has finished doing what he's been doing. He drew a transmutation circle and he calls some of the soldiers to it and activates it. And this is when we learn that the entire city is a transmutation circle and it's connected by the laboratories. And then we see like everybody feeling the shift in the city. And
well, that makes sense though, because didn't they say alchemy has something to do with tectonic plates at one point?
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, the alchemy of Amestris. Yes.
Yes, because alkahestry has to do with the dragon's pulse or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Chi.
The flow of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And we, Izumi and Sig sense it too, and they're like, all right, time to get out of here because Izumi's one of the sacrifices. But Alex and Olivier are going to stay and fight. But before Izumi and Sig can leave, we see an eye open up underneath her, and we see that the soldiers at the transmutation circle have been consumed, and not only is an eye opened up underneath her, but also Ed and Al, and they're like eaten up.
Yeah.
And disappear, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. It was so cool in the manga, like all the panels, and it really focused in on Ed's face and like the sheer panic that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like in the anime how Mustang's like, no, Full Metal! And all I was mm-hmm. thinking was, oh no, his child, save your boy.
Yeah, I liked that scene that he was concerned. He was genuinely concerned for Ed.
Fine, help.
Like, we know he cares about him, but
yeah, I mean, like,
I don't know.
There, well, we'll hopefully cover this light novel later, but, in one of the light novels, there is this relationship alluded to that Ed kind of sees him as a father figure, and even thinks to himself, wouldn't it be nice if this was my dad instead of my actual dad? But on the whole, I really view the relationship more as a big brother, little brother kind of thing.
Because
mm-hmm. Ed spent his whole life being a big brother. He needs somebody to come beside him as an older man to like say, here are the ropes, let me help you through life, I'll tease mm-hmm. you, but it's okay.
Yeah, Roy's too young to be his dad. He'd really be like, he is. He would have had him when he was like 15 or something.
Well, yeah. So technically not too young, but...
Okay, technically not too young, but like...
The realm of possibility, that's not, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so that's that. We didn't have a lot to say, except... For our story elements analysis, we are going to talk about hero deaths. So, a lot of times in popular media, especially anime, an author or director won't kill off characters. And we get it, it's hard to part with them. However, the stakes aren't high if there's no danger. And we've established that Arakawa isn't afraid to make the necessary sacrifices, as Fu would put it. So, do we agree with her killing off characters? And do you, as the audience, agree with that?
Yes, I think you should. I don't know.
It depends on how they go.
Yes, but I would say I am a realist in that in something like this dangerous, like none of the main characters die. That's always kind of annoys me. Like, yep. Like seriously, no one died. Everybody's okay. Like yeah. that was like, I know we've talked about this, but I really enjoy the Lunar Chronicles.
Yes, we have talked about this.
None of the main characters die. Sorry if you haven't read it, but
yeah,
it's yeah, and it's some just
horrible
like,
things happen to them, so but none of them die.
Unreasonable to me. So yeah. I wouldn't say I like when character, like, main-ish characters die, but I think it adds a little bit of realism to the story.
I am okay with them being brought back as long as there is a really good reason why they didn't die. See Bungo Stray Dogs. but then if a character does die and it adds, you know, that dramatic and tense element to the story, I am fine with that as long as they get a proper send-off. Like, we need time to grieve. Mm-hmm. Like with Hughes, there was a funeral and they never forgot him. So,
but sometimes you don't get time to grieve.
That's true.
So,
but I mean, like a death scene where you know for sure they're dead. Like, there's no hope of them coming back. Like,
yeah.
Like, I need to see them actually pass away.
If you don't see them, like, actually dead, yeah, they're not dead. Even if you see them dead, like, I need, like, decapitation or something as proof of death. Anyway, that was the end of the episode. Very, very action-packed.
Yeah.
As the last few have been. What was your favorite line?
Mine came from Buccaneer. When he got his jab in on Bradley. He said, "That philosopher's stone might have given you the eyes of a god, but even you can't dodge an attack if you can't see it coming." He was very smart.
Yes.
And what was your favorite line?
Mine came from Izumi when she was talking to the central soldiers, trying to convince them to join them. "Believe in yourselves and choose life over death. Otherwise, you've led a shameful existence."
I like that one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what did we learn in this episode?
We learned that sometimes you have to accept loss for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. And who pushed the story forward?
Fu and Buccaneer for making the ultimate sacrifice to help take down Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They will be missed.
Well, we haven't gotten their death scene.
Yeah, I know.
Yet, technically speaking, but
we're already talking about them.
Fatal.
We're already talking about them being dead. So,
not much hope for you if your guts get splattered everywhere.
Yeah, at least not in this show.
No. There's so many shows that could, like, spin that, like, "Oh, he's fine. He's fine."
Right? It's like they definitely would be dead, but okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's all we've got for this episode, so we'll be back next week with another episode, and bye.
Bye.